The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. We're going to continue with our series through the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ found in Matthew chapter 5. These are instructions from Jesus Christ on practical everyday Christian living. They show that right actions will lead to tremendous results and wonderful blessings. So we need to be studying them very, very carefully and putting them into use in our daily Christian lives. Let's go through this together. Go get your Bible, and it'll mean so much more if you'll follow along in your Bible as we go through these wonderful, inspired verses that Jesus Christ himself gave us for our daily Christian lives. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Last time we got through verse 6, so now we'll pick it up in verse 7 of Matthew 5. Jesus Christ said this, verse 7, Matthew 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, this is a quality that is fast disappearing in our society today. How many people do you know today that are really merciful? Most of the time, people like to get even. They carry grudges. They seek vengeance. You mess with them, they're going to get you for it. It's a matter of getting even, squaring things up. It's not a matter of forgiving and being merciful. But Jesus Christ said right here in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the merciful. It doesn't mean that you become permissive. It doesn't mean that you become soft-headed, but you are soft-hearted. When you see people who are sorry for something they did or said, do you just go ahead and ignore that? Or do you respond to that and do you forgive them? And you know they're sincere and you know that they mean it, either by words or by actions or both. Or do you want to get even, get back, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? That's not the way we live under the new covenant of Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Redeemer. We want mercy from others. We want forgiveness from others. And especially, we want mercy and forgiveness from God Almighty and Jesus Christ. Without mercy from them, what chance do we have? Look at all the mistakes we make and look at all of the wrong actions that we're guilty of that we have to repent of and change on a daily basis. And let's suppose we did that and God still said, well, I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not going to be merciful. I'm going to hold that against you and you're going to pay big time for those actions and for those words. I wouldn't have a chance. You probably wouldn't either. But that's not the attitude they have. When we see we're wrong and we're sorry about it and we repent of it, they're quick to show mercy and to show forgiveness. And not only to forgive, but they also forget. I'm thinking of a chapter over here in Psalms I'd like for us all to turn to and read, and it makes this very, very clear. It says here in Psalms chapter 103, let's notice verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. And notice down here in verse 10, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's the attitude that Jesus Christ has. That's the attitude that Almighty God has. And not only are we forgiven, but our sins are forgotten. Let's just notice here in Isaiah 43 and verse 25, a tremendous, wonderful blessing. Isaiah 43 and verse 25, I, even I, am he that blots out your transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember your sins. I won't remember them. The penalty is not hanging over your head for your mistakes, for your sins, for your wrongdoing. Those sins are all forgiven. And they are forgotten. You now have a clean slate to go forward and do the right thing. And I will remember your sins no more. Well, shouldn't we have that same attitude toward others? I don't mean pretend that wrong should not be something that requires consequences. It should be. There's consequences for everything. Good consequences for good actions, bad consequences for bad actions. But what I mean and what Jesus Christ is saying here is our attitude ought to be one of being easily entreated, being merciful, being kind, ready to forgive when an individual has wronged us and then wants to make it right. And if they don't come and want to make it right, put it in God's hands and don't go around carrying a grudge and waiting for an opportunity to pounce and get even. Put it in God's hands and keep moving and have that attitude of forgiveness. And if they really show us or ask us to forgive them and it's really sincere, we do that and we extend mercy. And notice what it says when we have that attitude. Verse 7, Jesus Christ said, "For they shall obtain mercy." You're merciful, you're going to obtain mercy. You're not merciful, you're not going to obtain mercy. You're kind. You care for others. You're compassionate. You're concerned. That's that attitude of mercy that Jesus Christ is talking about here that we all must cultivate and we all must have. Continuing now in verse 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." A clean mind, a clean heart, holy, righteous, godly character. Just look at all of the filth and vileness that's peddled in every direction in our society today. In movies, on television, in books, ugly, immoral things, and even actions that you see and hear about in our society. The language that people use, the conniving and deception that people practice, the evil actions and taking advantage of others that are in the news on a daily basis. What about what Christ says regarding the attitude of our hearts, the attitude that is behind our actions? He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." They're clean. They are free from ill will and free from evil and filthiness and vulgarness and immorality. They want to do the right thing. Isn't it wonderful to work on this and to get more and more this way so that on a daily basis we know that our attitude and our heart, they're pure? We have no ulterior motive. We're not conniving and orchestrating and deceiving others. We're not thinking dirty thoughts and wanting to do dirty things and say dirty, rotten, filthy, vile, ugly things. That's all gone. We are genuine. We are sincere. We're not phony. And we have clean thoughts and clean words and clean actions. Women do. Men do. Children do. It's not that we're prudish and sissy. We're very bold and active and engaged in life. We get things done, and we're going places and doing things, but we do it with a clean mind and a clean heart. Our motives are right, not wrong. And look what it says here, if that's the attitude we have. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Won't that be a fantastic time when we can actually see God? We can actually be in His presence? We can listen to Him in person and see Him in person and be around Him? That's what it says is going to happen if we're overcoming and growing and developing holy, righteous, godly character and a pure heart and a pure outlook and a pure mind and a pure attitude. Some people are just automatically skeptical. They're automatically cynical. They're automatically going to take it in the wrong direction and end up in the wrong place. It's going to be vile and dirty and evil. They put the wrong spin on things. The innuendos and the double meanings that people use and that you find in different facets of our society today, we need to break clear of all that. And what you see is what you get. We don't go around pretending one thing, meaning another. We're just up front and pure in our approach, in our attitude, in our actions, and in our words. I want to look at a verse over here in Philippians chapter 4. It's a wonderful verse inspired by God, and Paul wrote it down. It says here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And notice verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, uncontaminated, uncorrupted, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Think on these things. That's how to have a pure mind. Think on those things that are good and right and true. They're listed right here. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report and virtue and so on. With God's help, we can change the way we think from wrong to right. And therefore, then the actions that flow from our thinking will be right instead of wrong. Because before every action comes a thought. And that's why it's so important. And that's why Jesus Christ instructed us here to be pure in heart. Because then our actions will be pure. Notice the reward. Notice the blessings. Notice the results. Notice the outcome. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What a wonderful goal that is. Continuing, let's notice Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers. How many peacemakers do you know today? I'll bet you know a lot of troublemakers. I'll bet you know a lot of people that are just stirring up strife and hurt feelings and envy, jealousy. There are people that go out of their way to try to start fights and then step back and watch people destroy one another and just get a big kick out of it. It's big business nowadays to promote violence in sports. I love sports. I've been involved in sports all my life, but I like sports where violence is not a part of it. Notice how violent football is becoming, hockey, and some of the most violent of all sports, boxing and this ultimate fighting and so on. And people will pack an arena and just scream and almost pass out with delight when two people, men or women, get into a ring and just beat one another to a pulp, and the more blood, the better. That is not godly. That is not pleasing to God. And that is not something that Jesus Christ is going to bless and approve of. And that is going to bring trouble and pain and sorrow and suffering, not just physically, but spiritually. Instead of promoting violence and trouble, and instead of spreading it all over the place, he wants us to be peacemakers. Look at the big ticket sales where people will lay out hundreds of dollars to pay for a seat to watch other people pummel and beat and savage one another. That is not a Christian way of life. Not only should we avoid being that way at all costs, in everyday life as well as in sports, we should avoid being a part of any of that, paying to see it, and yelling while it takes place, and cheering it on. A Christian, one that is trying to live God's way and be pleasing to God and be a servant and service to others, is not going to be a part of any of that kind of trouble and violence. Rather, this is what we're going to be like. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. We make peace. We spread peace. We're peaceable. We don't like conflict. We don't like trouble. We don't like confrontation. We don't like tension. Sure, we'll stand our ground. We're not going to be throw rugs, but we can do that in a way where peace is the result. We are peacemakers. We're not troublemakers. And look at the results of that. Look at the blessings that come with that. Notice Jesus Christ said, "For they shall be called the children of God." Peacemakers. Troublemakers are not going to be called the children of God. He doesn't want that. He doesn't like that. He tells us not to be that way. Rather, he says, be peacemakers. Love sports that promote joy and sportsmanship and happiness and good, vigorous exercise and accomplishment and teach lessons about teamwork and hard work. But it doesn't involve violence and injury and competition where one lords it over the other one and puts the loser down and struts for being the winner. That isn't right. That isn't God's way. That doesn't promote peace. A peacemaker thinks of the other person. A peacemaker learns how to get along with others without being taken advantage of. And those people can inspire others to be like that. Here's the results. God is going to bless them, and they're going to be called the children of God. Notice a couple of verses on being peacemakers. Let's go back over here to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, a very famous chapter in the Bible, in a very famous book, Psalms. Psalms 119 and verse 165. Look at what God inspired David to write. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace, not just peace, great peace. Isn't that something? To have peace of mind and to have peace in your life and peace in your home and peace in the neighborhood and peace on the job and peace out on the highway. Well, one way to have that is to obey God and keep His commandments. And it says right here, if you do that, you will have great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let's notice Proverbs, another verse to go with this. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 2. Well, begin reading in verse 1. Proverbs 3, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. By keeping the commandments, by obeying God. That way we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and we love our neighbor as ourself. And that promotes peace. Just look how dangerous it is nowadays on the roads and the highways and byways. You hear about it all too often. This thing of road rage, where somebody perceives that another driver has done them wrong, maybe cut them off, maybe wouldn't let them pass, or irritated them in some way, and they become enraged, and they'll chase them down. And just recently in the news, someone chased another driver down and killed him, pulled a gun and killed him. Over what? Okay, maybe he didn't signal when he should have. That's no reason to chase him down and kill him. We have to have the attitude of let it pass. Back off. Give people room. Practice proper driving etiquette. And there is an etiquette of driving. We are to drive safely, drive defensively, but obey the driving rules, and that means be considerate as we drive. And that'll do away with road rage. And that'll bring peace as we're driving along in the various highways and byways of our land. Others might not follow that. Some do. But all of us should if we're going to be Christian. And you know, when we slide behind the steering wheel, we still need to have the Christian attitude and still be Christian as we travel by whatever means we're traveling. And peacemakers behind the steering wheel will promote peaceful driving and will reduce, if not do away, with road rage. And the way to have peace is to have the attitude of caring for others and the practice of living by God's way and God's word, which is loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's obeying the law, and great peace will follow those who live in that way. So on a daily basis, ask yourself if you conduct business, if you participate in recreation, if you fellowship with family, whatever you're doing, ask yourself, are you a peacemaker? Is your attitude one of being a pleasant individual and lots of fun to be around? If you are this kind of individual, a peacemaker, God will bless you for that, and you'll be able to help others. And as He says, you shall be called the children of God. Let's continue now and go on to verse 10. Christ said this, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you're made fun of for being a Christian, what is your reaction? When you are persecuted and penalized for living by the Bible, what do you feel like doing? Persecution is picking up around the world. We hear in various countries where churches are being burned down and people are being murdered just because they want to follow Jesus Christ and will not bow to what they perceive to be a wrong type of worship and a wrong type of religion. But they want to bow down before Jesus Christ and be a Christian. And they get beat up and threatened, and sometimes their homes are burned, and sometimes they're murdered, and the churches are burned to the ground. What do you feel like doing when you hear that? What do you feel like saying when somebody makes fun of you, when you don't laugh at a dirty joke, when you dress appropriately, when you keep your language clean and free of smut? When you refuse to go into a wrong place where immoral things are going on, what if they make fun of you, call you goody two-shoes, self-righteous, and put you down? Well, the thing to do is not return that kind of conduct toward them, but rather show them the way they should be conducting themselves by setting the right example, by being strong in your Christian life and in your Christian character, and not returning persecution because they persecuted you. But be thankful that God has enabled you to do the right thing And if you get persecuted for that, well, that's all about the kingdom of God. That's what happened to Jesus Christ. He died doing the right thing. And he was made fun of and persecuted for being the perfect individual that he was. Now, we can't be perfect like him, but we can strive to be like him. And if along the way that brings trouble and persecution, okay, that puts you in the category with him. Don't retaliate. Keep on doing the right thing. Put it in God's hands. Shake it off and be aware of the fact that you're going to be blessed. It says that. Every time we follow one of these Beatitudes, we need to remember that the first word in these Beatitudes we've been going through is blessed. So if you are persecuted for doing the right thing, you're going to be blessed. And yours is the kingdom of heaven. Notice verse 11, Matthew 5. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, verse 12, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So you're in good company. You're in a good place in your spiritual life. If you are persecuted and you are reviled and evil gossip and evil things are said about you, all because of Jesus Christ, all because you worship him, you serve him, you're trying to be like him. Now, you don't want to push yourself on others. You don't want to be preaching at others, looking down your nose at others, lecturing and quarreling and quoting scripture at others, not that. But by letting your light shine, by having character that just flows from you in every situation, being honest, not lying, giving, not stealing, working hard, not goofing off on the job, caring for others, not ignoring them, going out of your way to help somebody instead of just walking on past, being careful when you do that. If you are trying to follow the example of Jesus Christ and live by his words, and that brings ridicule, that brings isolation, that brings people attacking you verbally or even physically, people doing you harm, and protect yourself and watch out and be careful, yes. But don't retaliate. Don't get back at them. Just remember what it says here in verse 11. Blessed are you when that happens, if it's for my sake. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down in the mouth. Don't feel put upon. Don't start wallowing in pity. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I want to turn to a verse that ties in with these verses and with this principle. It's over here in Romans chapter 12. Let's turn there. God inspired this, and he inspired the Apostle Paul to record it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. It says in Romans 12, 18, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, some people you just can't live peaceably with. It might even be one of your neighbors. The thing to do is either just go your way and leave them alone, and if that doesn't work, just try to move and get to another place. And maybe on the job, no matter how hard you try, you might have a fellow worker you just can't live peaceably with. Well, you might start looking for another job or ask for a transfer and so on. But that's rare. Usually that can all be taken care of by you going out of your way to set the example, to be nice, to be good, to be courteous, to live peaceably and not retaliate. And pray about it, and it'll usually settle down. Now notice verse 19 of Romans 12. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, there's a proverb that says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Give way. Back up a bit. That's not being taken advantage of. That's giving other people a chance to settle down and see themselves and repent and the situation to be resolved. You're not going to get run over if you do that. God doesn't expect you just to be bullied and so on, but there's a way to handle it. You don't bully back. You figure a way around it And it might mean you go somewhere else and you're around different people. But whatever you do, don't get back. Don't retaliate. Don't avenge yourselves. That's what it's saying in verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. They're not going to get away with anything. God will take care of it. They'll get their comeuppings when it's right and when the time is best for it to happen, and God will see to that, and then they will learn their lesson and quit doing that. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Help him out. Help her out. Do something good for them. Send them a nice note. Listen to them sometime. And then that may lead them to repent and to change. That's what it means when you heap coals of fire on their head. You don't do that literally, but it makes them think, and therefore they come to themselves. And when you were good and they were bad, but you were good, when they did you wrong, but you did something good back to them, that could lead them to repenting. That's what it's saying here. And notice verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's hard to do, but God will help you do it. And that's the best way to go. And that's what Jesus Christ is talking about back here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Return good for evil, and God says you will be blessed for doing so. Well, we'll stop there at verse 12 of Matthew 5 and pick it up with verse 13 next time as we go on through a good part of these Beatitudes of Jesus Christ here in Matthew 5. In the meantime, I want to ask you to consider writing for our free material, and it is all free. Everything we have is free. Write for our free material on peace in perilous times. It will add to some of the things we've gone through today about peace. Peace in perilous times, and also our free material on, is this the only day of salvation? You might be surprised when you find out the truth about that subject, and you get that question answered. Is this the only day of salvation? Ask for this material. We'll send it to you free. Also ask for our free magazine, Straightforward. Straightforward. There's no charge. There's no follow-up. There's no obligation. It's free. Call in or write in. It'll be sent out to you right away, free of charge. All you got to do is call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317, and give us your request. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org, straightforward.org, and give us your request there. Well, until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.